Hi, XCR, it's Miriam. I'm gonna speak about the voice in my work in the Solo Living Archive. I'm doing this on my way to an appointment in the city. The trick is that I have this time of a journey to speak about the voice. At the same time, I'm opening my mailbox to see if there's something urgent. But no, bills. This is the door opening of my building. It's a sliding door. And now I'm outside. I may have written you in an email that there are actually three basic figures that underlie this performance. Three figures of speech. One is the what we could call stammering, although I think the practice I'm doing in the performance is more neurological stress when words appear in our heads and need to be channeled to our mouths. Words get scrambled and scratched. I think this figure is somehow indicating for me the overload of language, of information, and basically of all the other voices that populate my head continuously. The performance is departing from that statement, from a woman, me, operating so many technological devices that can record and replay speech, that there's a whole cabinet of voices. So there's no such thing as my voice if it's always already part of a polyphony. But let's say also this polyphony can turn into cacophony. In the meantime, I'm approaching the bus stop. The second figure of speech, what you could call like a sort of silent cry, it kind of manifests itself often in a way that I'm just wide open mouth with no sound coming out. In the meantime, lots of sound are in the space, so if you like, this could be seen as a sort of ventriloquism. Here's the bus. Super. Okay. Thank you. Well, in a way, you could say that that's this performance, Living Archive. It does play with, as big as they are, metaphors of life and death, of living and dying, and of always moving and jumping to another plane of identity. I think it's honoring a sort of rupture, or it's encouraging it. So many things somehow want to go smooth and slow and gradual, but yeah, I really have a blackout right now. I don't know what I was talking about. Oh yeah, the rupture in the voice. Anyway, as the bus is driving into the city and we're approaching closer and closer to the appointment with a friend, I think it's a good moment to say goodbye to you. Hello, it's me again. Yeah, I put on the recorder again because I want to make a small addition. I realized that I have forgotten something. There's this thing that I do in Living Archive that whenever I explain something in the piece, which is actually a very strong tendency if one works with documentary material from an archive, and that like every sample could have its own contextualization. And because I really didn't want to make a performance lecture and have an explicatory register in this performance, I kind of wanted to see how far one could get without explaining something or rendering something explicit. I had this rule. I had the rule that whenever I would explain something, that I would sing. And so in the performance, there are a couple of moments where I'm improvising song, and you hear me sort of in a recitative. I don't know the word in Spanish for that, nor in English, but it's like how your thoughts come to your mind, that you just start really singing them. And so in this way, but of course much louder, I'm kind of not trying to disturb the other people on the bus, there's these songs of explanation. And this is still something that I'm working on right now. After Living Archive, I'm collecting a series of impromptu, silly songs. I call them silly because they're really supposed to be uninhibited, really work with just how things come to your mind. And if there's a tone out of key, don't think that that's misery. And now I'm at the red light in the middle of Brussels center town, only 5 minutes away from an appointment. Yeah. And this is perhaps an anecdote, but it's a very important one, for me at least. I invited during the rehearsals sometimes people to come feedback, give advice. And there was somebody who looked at all the materials, the whole rehearsal. And afterwards she said, "Listen, I think it's all very okay and fantastic and some remarks, but one of the most important remarks she had to make was that she was missing my real voice." Perhaps somehow we become very known for a certain register or style of speaking, or a particular use of our voice, or the sort of voice that we have become. And before we know it, we continuously act and reenact that style, that register, that voice. Because to have a voice usually means to be able to execute some sort of authority. And I'm very interested, again, in how to break down these systems of authority, to find other ways of existing, of speaking, of voicing. And yes, that may lead to this remark, like, "Well, where are you?" But there is no you. There's only always ever changing. The kind of landscape, it's always different. Hello. Bonjour. Bonjour, j'attends une amie, elle va venir.
Oui, voilà, je vais la rendre.
Comme ça ? Oui.